Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from The Voice of America. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Anna Mateo, John Russell, Ashley Thompson, and Adam Brock. But first, this report from Anne Ball and Brian Lynn.
The high cost of a college education keeps some students from even thinking about going to college. Some schools in the United States want to help those students by offering them free or reduced tuition. Schools offering free or reduced tuition include community colleges with two-year study programs and a number of four-year colleges. Some require students to pay for room and board or for housing and food. They also may have to pay for books and other school supplies. The free tuition colleges include the U.S. military academies, which require military service for some years after graduation. Others are called work colleges because students must work part-time on campus to pay for some of their costs. How do these colleges pay their bills without receiving tuition payments? For many, it is a mix of endowments, large amounts of money given to a school, and other financial gifts or grants.
Berea College in rural Berea, Kentucky, does not charge tuition. The school looks for students who would otherwise struggle to pay for college. You have to be economically disadvantaged to get in, Richard Cahill told VOA. He is a history professor and director of the Center for International Education at Berea. We try to take the brightest of economically disadvantaged students to give them a world-class education, he said. The college has a history of helping people with less since 1855. It was started by a man who opposed slavery. And from its beginning, black and white students, male and female, studied together. Now there are 1,600 students, and just over 25% are black. Over 6% are international students who come from more than 70 countries. Cahill says every year the school accepts 30 out of 3,000 foreign students who compete for admission online. Students work 10 to 20 hours a week on the Berea campus to pay for room and board and books.
Other four-year colleges where international students can be a part of the work program to cover all or part of their tuition include College of the Ozarks, also known as Hard Work U. This Christian school, located near Branson, Missouri, admits a small number of international students. Each student works 15 hours a week and 2 40-hour work weeks a year to cover the cost of tuition. Warren Wilson College is a small liberal arts college near Asheville, North Carolina, with just under 700 students. Students work on campus and earn over $2,000 towards tuition. Depending on financial needs, international students may get full tuition paid by a program called Milepost 1 or other scholarships. The campus includes a 120-hectare farm where students work and grow food served on campus.
Barclay College is a smaller school with a few foreign students in rural Haviland, Kansas, a Midwest state. It is a small Christian liberal arts school with only 170 students. Justin Kendall is director of admissions at Barclay. He told VOA one reason that they decided to offer free tuition was to have more students. Students still have to pay about $16,000 a year for room and board. Donors help make up the difference at the school. Kendall says they love the college and what we're doing here. He says foreign students do really, really well there because of the small size. They get a lot of personal attention here. Another school that offers free tuition is the Curtis Institute of Music. Their website says that the school highly values a diverse international student body. Musicians from 20 countries make up nearly 40% of the students. The school, however, requires an audition and admits very few students.
The U.S. Military Academy at West Point is the oldest of the military colleges, dating back to 1802. West Point's website says up to 60 international students may study at the academy at any given time. The same is true for the U.S. Air Force Academy and U.S. Naval Academy. International students must be sponsored by a national-level government official in their country and be between the ages of 17 and 22 to be considered for admission. The academies say the countries are selected by the U.S. State Department and Department of Defense. West Point says that American embassies then ask each individual nation to nominate up to 6 candidates to compete for admission to the school.
West Point spokesman Frank DeMauro Jr. told VOA that the most recent class has students from 14 countries, including Colombia, The Gambia, Jordan, Rwanda, and Thailand. After graduation, he says, they will go back to their countries and serve as officers in their armed forces. The U.S. Coast Guard Academy is similar to the other military academies. International students do not apply directly to the academy like U.S. citizens do, said Chris McMunn, an admissions officer. However, he told VOA, if they are nominated by their country and ultimately selected to attend, then their training education costs should be paid by their nation. A waiver for part or all of the tuition can be requested. I'm Brian Lynn.
And I'm Ann Ball.
Now the VOA Learning English Program, Words and Their Stories. The English language has hundreds of expressions and phrases that include the word hand. But today we will focus on only a handful. Here, handful means a small amount. But keep listening to find out what else it can mean. Today's hand expressions describe situations where you are involved in doing something. And that something is bad. Imagine a kitchen. On the kitchen counter is a cookie jar. You can almost smell the freshly baked cookies that are inside. Now imagine a child sneaking into the kitchen, climbing onto the counter, and reaching into that closed cookie jar. The child knows she's not supposed to eat any sweets before dinner, but she can't stop herself from taking a cookie. If this child is often sneaky and causes trouble, we could call her a handful. Used this way, handful means someone or something that is difficult to control. Okay, now back to the kitchen. You walk in and surprise the child. You catch her with her hand in the cookie jar. This expression means discovering someone doing something wrong or forbidden. We often use it for stealing, but not just a little sweet. The cookie in this expression can mean any resource that someone has secretly and dishonestly taken. Sometimes we drop the word caught and simply say someone had their hand in the cookie jar. We often use this expression when we are making fun of the situation. That doesn't mean it is not important. It can be very important. But this expression permits us to make a little fun of the person who was caught doing something dishonest. Let's hear it used in this example.
Hey, Charlie. I'm going to a press conference at City Hall in about an hour. Do you want to come?
What makes you think I would want to go to a press conference with a bunch of politicians? You know I don't like the mayor.
I know you don't. I don't either. That's why we should go.
Why?
Investigators just caught her with her hand in the cookie jar. She was stealing public money to pay for her new summer home. She is resigning. And there are other council members who had their hands in the same cookie jar. They might also be on their way out.
Oh, then I will go. What should I wear? What are you wearing? This is a very special event.
But let's say you do not want to talk about the situation in this way. You do not want cookies to be involved. Well, you can also catch someone with their hand in the till. Here, the word till means a money drawer in a store or bank. Both expressions mean the same thing, but using till instead of cookie jar sounds a bit more serious. When you actually see someone stealing or doing something else bad with your own eyes, you catch them in the act. A more descriptive expression for this is to catch them red-handed. Many word experts say that caught red-handed comes from a 15th century Scottish expression. Back then, thieves might be caught with actual blood on their hands after a crime, like killing animals on someone else's land. But today, we use this expression for just about anything. You don't have to be stealing rabbits for dinner to be caught red-handed. You could simply be lying or cheating, like in this example.
Hey, did you hear the news? Steve and Britta broke up.
Really? What happened?
He was cheating on her.
Are you sure? He doesn't seem like the type.
She caught him red-handed. She surprised him at his office and got a surprise of her own. He was kissing his boss.
Ooh, she did catch him red-handed. You can't argue with that evidence.
And that's all the hand expressions we have time for on this Words and Their Stories. But there are more, lots more. So until next time, I'm Anna Mateo.
Who stole the cookie from the cookie jar?
Astronomers have created the most correct map yet of the Milky Way, the part of space that contains our sun, solar system, and more than 100 billion stars. Researchers made the three-dimensional map by measuring the distance from the sun to thousands of big, brightly shining stars. They found that the shape of the Milky Way is not flat, but twisted. It is made of four major spiral arms and a bar-shaped main area. Their findings were published in the journal Science. Andrzej Udalski is an astronomer at the University of Warsaw and a co-author of the study. He said that, for the first time, our whole galaxy was mapped from edge to edge using real distances. Until now, the understanding of the galaxy's shape had been based on indirect measurements. For the new map, researchers measured the distance from the sun to some 2,400 stars spread throughout the galaxy. The stars are called Cepheid variables. Dorota Skowron is also a University of Warsaw astronomer and a co-author of the study. Skowron explained that Cepheids are giant stars that are far brighter than the sun. They are also relatively young, less than 400 million years old. This means that they are located near their birthplaces. The astronomers studied the Cepheids using the Warsaw Telescope, located in the Chilean Andes. Because the stars pulsate at regular times, researchers could see them through the galaxy's clouds of dust. The final map showed that the galaxy's shape changes from place to place. It becomes increasingly thick as it moves away from the center. Researchers also found that the galaxy's disk has a diameter of about 140,000 light-years. Each light-year is about 9 trillion kilometers. I'm John Russell.
Today, on our National Parks journey, we visit a mountainous landscape on America's East Coast. Within the park are rocky peaks, rolling green hills, and spectacular waterfalls. It is also home to hundreds of black bears. Welcome to Shenandoah National Park, in the state of Virginia. Shenandoah sits in the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains. The mountains are part of the larger Appalachian Mountain Range. The park's hiking trails, waterfalls, and wildlife appeal to nature lovers and adventurers. Shenandoah National Park is perhaps best known for the road that goes through it, Skyline Drive.
Skyline Drive runs nearly 170 kilometers north to south. It is the only road in the park. There are more than 70 overlooks along the way, where people can pull their car off the road. These overlooks provide visitors with beautiful views of the Shenandoah Valley. The road was built in the 1930s, at a time when the automobile was becoming popular. Shenandoah's north entrance lies less than 120 kilometers from Washington, D.C. Early planners wanted a major national park like those in the American West, here on the East Coast, close to big cities. In fact, Shenandoah was described as an Eastern park in the Western tradition. And early park planners wanted Skyline Drive to be the single greatest feature of the park.
Denise Machado is a park ranger at Shenandoah. She explains that the park soon became a place for people to escape the noise and heat of big cities.
It was created just so people could kind of get away, a place to escape the big city and the hustle and bustle, the pre-air-conditioned days. You know, this was the place to be. The temperatures were about 10 degrees cooler up here on the mountain.
But Shenandoah's history is not without controversy. To create the place that park planners envisioned, many families were forced to leave behind properties in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Shenandoah National Park was formed from more than 3,000 individual land purchases. They were presented to the federal government by the Commonwealth of Virginia. Shenandoah officially became a national park in 1936. Today, most of the buildings and structures that once stood in the area are long gone. But you can find some signs of the past. A log building called Corbin Cabin still stands. George Corbin, who built the log structure, was forced to leave the land in the late 1930s, just after the creation of the national park. Today, the cabin is operated by the Potomac Appalachian Trail Club. The club permits people to rent the cabin.
Shenandoah National Park has more than 800 kilometers of hiking trails. They take visitors to Rocky Mountain peaks, grassy meadows, and forested canyons. Hikers are especially drawn to the park's famous waterfalls.
The waterfalls are definitely the most popular. We have 9 waterfalls. Dark Hollow Falls is our most popular. It's a beautiful waterfall. It's a 70-foot waterfall. It's a 1.4-mile hike round trip. It follows along a stream, and you're right at the base of the falls looking up, and you can feel the spray, and, you know, it's a really great experience.
Grace Williams hiked to Dark Hollow Falls with her daughter on her birthday.
My daughter's gift for me to bring me to the national park, and it's on my bucket list. So I always love falls. I like the sound. Water is refreshing. So they did tell us it's a kind of like a moderate hike. I do have knee problems, but I just wanted to challenge it, and I'm glad I came. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Another of Shenandoah's famous hikes is called Old Rag. It is almost 15 kilometers long. To get to the top of Old Rag Mountain, hikers must scramble up large rocks. It is a long and difficult hike, but the views from the top bring hikers from all across the country and world.
Because it is close to many big cities, Shenandoah's trails are often crowded with people. More than 1 million people visit the park each year. Although Shenandoah was created to be an easy escape
from big East Coast cities. Today, it sees visitors from all over the world.
It's amazing how many people you meet that come from far-flung countries and corners of the world. We've had people from Africa. We get a lot of people from Germany, France, Sweden, Netherlands. So you just never know where they're going to come from.
Machado says summer and fall are the most popular times to visit the park. While summer is a good time to enjoy the waterfalls, the fall brings beautiful autumn colors. In the middle of October, the trees begin to lose their leaves. The leaves change from green to different shades of yellow, orange, and red as winter approaches. On weekends in October, it can take up to 2 hours just to get into the park.
Visitors to Shenandoah National Park have a good chance of seeing a black bear. The park is home to between 400 to 600 black bears. It has one of the densest black bear populations of any national park. Denise Machado knows a lot about these black bears. In fact, her nickname is the Bear Lady.
Well, I am known in Shenandoah as the Bear Lady. I see a lot of bears every season. I'm in the park early in the morning, late in the evening. I see anywhere from, 400 or so bears every year. And it's wonderful to see. I never get tired of seeing them. They're all different and they're all special.
Machado gives visitors advice for what to do if they see a black bear.
So if you see a bear, you want to clap your hands, say, "Hey, bear, hey, bears." They really don't like to be startled. You don't want to try and sneak up on them to get a photo or anything. You want to make sure that they are totally aware you're there.
Malachi and his older brother Brent visited Shenandoah National Park with their parents. The family traveled here from Cincinnati, Ohio. The family hiked the Little Stony Man Trail. Along the way, they came upon a black bear.
I really liked how we could see the animals. We saw a really big bear, and he was really friendly, and he didn't do anything. He was just eating.
The park's bears and other wildlife are a big part of what attracts so many visitors to Shenandoah. Carol Bear and her husband visited the park from York, Pennsylvania. She said visiting Shenandoah is like a breath of fresh air.
It's just quieter. You hear the birds, you look at trees different. The wind blowing through the fields is just really neat.
Oh, Shenandoah, I long to hear you.
I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Adam Brock.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.